You know, the last time we covered a Bible study was on March 7th, and that was Zechariah 4 to 6. And that is actually the last time we met together, was on March 7th, and we had a Bible study. And what I'd like to do today, and that seems so long ago, but it was just really actually about 2 months now, but still, what I'd like to do today for the Bible study is to cover chapter 7. So let's go to Zechariah 7, beginning in verse 1. In the fourth year of King Darius, it came to pass that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month in Chislev. Now, this is 2 years after Zechariah saw the first visions that he received, which was during Darius's second year. So this is 2 years later. Now, Chislev is the Babylonian month, which compares to our December and January. It was the ninth month. And he received this vision. So notice this prophecy beginning. When the people, so there were certain people here sent Sherezer with Remelech and his men to the house of God to pray before the Lord and to ask the priests who were in the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophet, saying, should I weep in the fifth month and fast as I have done for so many years? So as this vision begins, there are people that are sending these men here as representatives to ask the priest a question. And the question was to inquire an answer from the priests. What about the fast in the fifth month? Now, when you look at the scriptures, there's only the fast in the seventh month on the Day of Atonement. So what is this fast of the fifth month? Well, keep your place in Zechariah and notice 2 Kings 25. 2 Kings 25, beginning in verse 8. And if you keep a place in Zechariah 7 and 2 Kings 25, we will be coming back and forth between those two chapters as we go through the Bible study. So what was this fast all about in the fifth month? That's 2 Kings 25, beginning in verse 8. And in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. And he burned the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem. That is, all the houses of the great, and he burned with fire. And all the army of the Chaldeans who were with the captain of the guard broke down the walls of Jerusalem all around. So that happened in the fifth month. It actually began on the seventh day of the fifth month of Ab, and the Jews began to establish a fast 2 days later on the ninth day of Ab. It's either A-B or A-Ev, A-V in the Hebrew. And so that was the fifth month in the Hebrew calendar. And it was to remember the destruction of Jerusalem, especially with the fact that Jerusalem was their capital. And here it was being burned. The temple was being burned to the ground. And then everything else was destroyed in Jerusalem at that particular time. So since Jerusalem was so central to the Jewish people, there were a number of people who began to fast there in captivity in Babylon as a reminder of what took place. As a reference scripture, you wouldn't have to turn there, but Psalm 137, verse 5 to 6, shows how much Jerusalem was the center point of the mind of those in captivity. It says, if I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. if I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. And so there was always this looking back to Jerusalem while they were in captivity. And they reminded themselves of what took place on the fifth month, the ninth day of the fifth month. The question came by these men as representatives of the people to the priests. Should we continue to fast? Should we weep and fast as we've done for so many years? And so we now come back to Zechariah. Because the temple was now being rebuilt. A lot of them had already come back out of captivity to Jerusalem, and they were already in Jerusalem. So notice that the answer actually comes from God to Zechariah. The word of the Lord of hosts came to me saying, this was the background to this particular vision that he had. Say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? And it's repeated for emphasis. For me. Did you do that for me? So God poses then a question back to Judah. And notice at this time, too, there's another fast that is mentioned in the fifth month. Now, we all know that in the seventh month is the Day of Atonement, which is on the 10th day of the seventh month. But the Jews also kept another fast during the seventh month, and that fast was on the third day of the seventh month. Again, not a biblical fast, but it was a fast nonetheless. And we find that fast back over here in 2 Kings 25. So let's look at 2 Kings 25 now in verse 22. He made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, governor over the people who remained in the land of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had left. So there was a remnant in Judah. And the people had made, referring to the king of Babylon, actually made Gedaliah the governor over that remnant. Well, what was the remnant going to do? Was the remnant going to stay there in the land, or some of them wanted to go to Egypt because they feared Babylon? So in verse 24, we see that Gedaliah took an oath before them and their men and said to them, "Do not be afraid of the servants of the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it will be well with you." And that was what Jeremiah actually prophesied. It would be well with them if they stayed. But it happened in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethamiah, the son of Elishama, of the royal family, came with 10 men and struck and killed Gedaliah, the Jews, as well as the Chaldeans who were with him at Mizpah. It was a massacre. And what the Jews did once they were in Babylon, in the captivity, when they heard this about this massacre that took place among Gedaliah and the others, they established a fast in the seventh month, and it was on the third day of the month. So that's that other fast that was being referred to back in Zechariah, the fast of the fifth month and the fast of the seventh month. Now, remember that God asked a question. During that time, when you were fasting to me on the fifth and the seventh months, for those particular fasts, were you fasting for me? Were you doing it for me? Now, that's the same question that was asked over here in Isaiah. Let's look at Isaiah now, 58. Isaiah 58. I'm sure this scripture is familiar with most of us because we do read this on the Day of Atonement. But notice again, in the context of what we've just seen there in Zechariah with, did you fast for me? Isaiah 58, verse 3. Isaiah 58, verse 3. Why have we fasted, they say, and you've not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Is a condemnation to Israel. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate. You strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day. It's not the way you ought to fast. And then, do you do this to make your voice heard on high? Is it a fast that I've chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head with like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? And we see that Isaiah is talking about the type of fast that God appreciates, a fast of humility and not of this strife. And so God is asking this question of them. When you were fasting during those 70 years, what were you doing? Were you changing your life at all? And we continue then in Zechariah 7, verse 6, because we see more of these words from God. When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? It's all selfish. Should you not have obeyed the words which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous? Why didn't you change your lives? And the south and the lowland were inhabited. Notice these are questions that God is giving the Jews there at that time. Why didn't you repent when you heard the words of the prophets? They didn't obey God. They didn't remember God in times of prosperity. They didn't do as he wanted. And God actually had given them a choice. He had given them, if you do what you are supposed to do, you will continue in the land. And you find this noted over here in Jeremiah 17. Let's look at Jeremiah 17, verse 24. Jeremiah 17 and in verse 24. It shall be, if you will heed me carefully, says the Lord, to bring no burden through the gate of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day to do no work in it. In other words, keep the Sabbath. And they weren't doing it. And they were going out and bringing burdens in on the Sabbath to sell. Then shall enter the gates of the city kings and princes sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes accompanied by the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this city shall remain forever. And let's continue. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places around Jerusalem and from the land of Benjamin and from the lowland and from the mountains and from the south, and bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and grain offerings. Sacrifices to praise to the house of the Lord. But if you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates. And that's exactly what God allowed to happen when Nebuchadnezzar came in and destroyed Jerusalem and the city. And it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. So God gave them a choice. Obey me. Keep my Sabbaths. Don't pollute them. So that was back for that time then as a warning. And it's also a warning for the future, because we see a little bit there in verses 26 about them coming from all over back into the land, and they will be established forever. So people will have to repent during the time of tribulation. I got to keep the Sabbath. And I got to obey God, and then they'll be brought back into the land. So before we get back to Zechariah 7, I want to note two other fasts that the Jews were keeping. And once again, we go to 2 Kings 25. So let's look at 2 Kings 25. So not only was there a fast on the in the fifth month and in the seventh month, there was one actually in the 10th month. 2 Kings 25, verse 1. 2 Kings 25 and verse 1. It came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the 10th month, on the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all of his army came against Jerusalem and encamped against it, and they built a siege wall against it all around. It was actually in the 10th month, which was the year earlier than the 5th month, that he comes in and puts a siege around Jerusalem. And that was the beginning of the end of Jerusalem. It was in the 10th month. It was this fast was a memorial of what took place at that time when the siege was put around Jerusalem. It happened, of course, months before the desolation. Now, the other fast was in the 4th month. Now, we see that in verse 3, 2 Kings 25, verse 3. By the ninth day of the 4th month, the famine had become so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. And then the city wall was broken through, and all the men of war fled at night by the way of the gate between the two walls. And so what you have then is this fast in the 4th month, which was a memorial of the time that there was this horrific famine in Jerusalem before the 5th month, before it was destroyed. And so you have the 10th month about the time of when Nebuchadnezzar put his armies around Jerusalem. You had the 4th month because of the famine. And then you had the 5th month when Jerusalem was destroyed by fire. These fasts all commemorated, even the one with Gedaliah, they all commemorated these horrible times of the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, what's very interesting when you look into history, that what happened to the temple during the time of Nebuchadnezzar also happened in 70 AD when the Roman armies came in and destroyed Jerusalem and burned it to the ground, burnt the temple and everything. And you know when it took place? The 9th of Ab, the same day of the Hebrew calendar in which the first temple was destroyed, same day the second temple was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. Now let's go back to Zechariah, but this time, instead of chapter 7, let's go to Zechariah 8. Let's go to Zechariah 8. And in this time, let's go to Zechariah 8, verse 18. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, thus says the Lord of hosts. Now, when we get into Zechariah 8, it's a fascinating chapter because there are at least 10 times where the phrase, thus says the Lord, is noted, and it's all about future events. It's a fascinating book that we'll look at the next time in the Bible study. But God says what's going to take place in the future, and notice what he says in verse 19. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the 4th month, because of the famine, the fast of the 5th month, which was about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, the fast of the 7th month, which, of course, would happen to Gedaliah, and the fast of the 10th month was the fast about Nebuchadnezzar putting the armies. Notice all those four fasts will be joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. No longer fasts in the time of the millennium. For the house of Judah, therefore love truth and peace. So we're seeing a prophecy in the future that those national fasts that the Jews had are all going to be turned into feasts of joy, national feasts of joy. And it's a fascinating thing to look at. And so if you look at that, the answer that God was giving those men who represented the people, should we weep and should we fast in the fifth and the seventh month, etc.? God is saying ultimately, look, these fasts are going to be all changed into cheerful feasts. So that's the complete answer to the question that came up in chapter 7. And the sad memories of the past will be forgotten. So let's go back then to Zechariah 7 now, and in verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion. The word there for mercy can also mean righteousness. Everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the stranger, the alien, or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. So these are repetitions of the law. These are statements that can be found throughout the first five books of Moses. Basically, this is a summary here of the need to have care and concern for other people. It's put there for a reason. We'll see that in just a moment. But verse 11, when they were told this by the prophets years before they went into captivity, they shrugged, verse 11, they refused to heed. They shrugged their shoulders. They stopped their ears so they could not hear. I don't need to hear this. I don't want to hear this. They had closed up their minds to anything of God's truth. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, hardened, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. That's what happened to Israel. It happened to Judah. It happened to Jerusalem. They didn't heed. They turned with a stubborn shoulder and they stopped their ears like stone. They didn't want to hear any of God's words. It became a progressive, horrific attitude toward God. I believe we're seeing that now, and it becomes even worse as the days go by. We're seeing lawlessness. We're seeing just a slam against anything of God, any morality of God. The love of many is waxing cold. There is frustration. You could see it now with a lot of people who don't understand the truth. People are coping as best as they can, but there's arguing, there's fighting, there's hostility. I mean, many can't have certain elective surgeries, but well, if you need an abortion, you can have that. It goes totally against God's laws, totally against God's ways. And the ways of God are thrown out the window. And that's what was happening to Israel, Judah, and Jerusalem. And it's kind of a warning here to what God was saying back to Judah and Jerusalem before the captivity. It's type of a warning that even is yet still to go out. It's really discouraging to see and hear all these things that are going on and the hypocrisy going on. And thankfully, God has given us the knowledge of the truth. And then eventually, we know when he returns, when Jesus Christ returns, he's going to set everything right. And so verse 13 to 14, therefore, it happened that just as he proclaimed, they would not hear, so they called out, and God said, I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. And he allowed Israel to go into captivity. He allowed Judah to go into captivity. He's going to allow the descendants of Israel to go into captivity, Jacob's trouble. You know, there are many warnings of this throughout the Old Testament of what's yet to happen in the future. Let's just go forward a couple of pages over to Malachi 3. Let's look at Malachi 3 and in verse 5. Malachi 3 and in verse 5. And I will come near to you for judgment. I'll be a swift witness against sorcerers and adulterers and perjurers, those who lie, against those who exploit wage earners. How often have you been hearing about that? The exploitation, and of widows and orphans. You hear horrific stories about, you don't have rent? Sorry. And how long is it going to be before people aren't going to be able to have places to live? I mean, this is just a foretaste of what some horrific things are going to happen in the future. And against those who turn away a stranger, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. So you see, scattered throughout the major prophets and the minor prophets are these warnings of what is yet to occur to Israel, because they will not heed, they will not listen to God. But the key, and you see, let's just read verse 14. I scattered them over the whirlwind among all the nations they had not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate. That happened with the northern kingdom, Judah and Jerusalem. They went into captivity for 70 years. And of course, then in 70 AD, it happened again. And so everybody's scattered. Israel is scattered. The Jews are scattered. Jewish people are scattered throughout the land. In reading about this on some of these Jewish websites, here is what one Jewish scholar wrote about the ninth of Ab. He said, the events of the ninth of Ab cannot be undone. They happened. But it should be a constant stimulus for repentance and good deeds. So that was something he saw, and they preach in their synagogues, that the ninth of Ab has a lesson for all of us, and that is repentance, a constant stimulus for repentance and good deeds. I thought the word stimulus was interesting, especially as we hear about that term today. I believe that what we find in verses 9 to 10 are important for us. The takeaway that we can learn from this particular chapter is this should be our stimulus. Knowing what happened in the past, what will happen in the future, this is our stimulus to do what we're supposed to do in verse 9 to 10. It's not like cash to help us in the economy. This is something that should be a stimulus to help us to do what is right. And that is to execute. That means to do true justice. It's following the judgments of God. It is to show mercy for others. Righteousness as well. That's the Hebrew word as well. Compassion, everybody to his brother. And we have opportunities now to show compassion to one another. As I mentioned last night, everybody's going through different unique situations. Mr. Franks alluded to that. Mr. Harchek alluded to that as well in various parts of the world, but in this country as well. There are different situations everyone is going through, whether it be financial straits that people are facing, health issues from extended family members, concerns about jobs, and everyone has some unique different things they're dealing with. And I think we need to have compassion praying for others. We may not know the specifics, but there are some that a lot of us are anxious about various things, and we really need God God's help and the comfort and the concern and the encouragement that comes from one another. But we should never oppress the widow. We should never oppress the fatherless, the stranger, or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. So these are times that we're going through now as a type of some of the horrible things that'll happen in the future as to what did happen in some cases in the future, not to the degree as what will happen in the future with Jacob's trouble. But it's a lesson for us to take these instructions to heart as a stimulus to do God's will in our lives.